here tonight. I'm excited to be able to be here. As I mentioned, it was 8 months with you all, and I enjoyed it very much. I have a lot of good memories with them. Speaking of stories, though, most of them would revolve around Micah and Joel, so but it's good to be here with you all. As Pastor mentioned, just be in prayer for Elsie. We were here for Academy Chapel, actually, and she started to have a little bit of a fever, so we went home. And by the time we went to the hospital, it was 104.8. So we decided to go in, and she might have a little bit of an infection from the looks of it. So not what you expect in a day, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So good to be here tonight, and it's good to be in God's house. It's amazing to be able to be together on a Thursday night and just really gathered around the heartbeat of what God's heart is, and be able to look at God's word and be able to study something from God tonight. And I pray that the message tonight will be a blessing to each one of us as we look at really what the master plan, what God's plan of reaching this world is, what God's plan of evangelizing this world. And this plan isn't something that just came out of nowhere. God has, for ages and ages, before you and I were ever around, he had a plan, and he wanted to save us, and he wanted to magnify his name, and he wanted to magnify Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at today, we're going to be looking in Luke 24, and we'll read this passage here and look at a few things about what God's plan is. What is God's plan for our life? What is God's plan for reaching this world? In Luke 24, I love the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Both of those books written by the same man. Both of these books are they very much go into depth. And we know that Luke, he was a very well-educated man. Luke was someone who had studied God's word in depth. He was someone who had walked and he had studied the life of Jesus. And then he took that and put it into writing. And it's a very detailed and very thorough account of Jesus Christ and his life. And then after that, the Acts, it's an thorough account of what the Holy Spirit did through the believers as they reached out throughout the world and accomplished the mission that Christ gave them. But we're going to be looking here at really the transition point between the two books. The end of one book and before the second book ever came about. But the story of when Jesus gives them that commission, that command to go and preach the gospel. And here in verse 44, we're going to begin here. It said, it's talking about Jesus is with the disciples here. He'd walk with them, and then he takes them out. And then he says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding. Sorry, let's go back to 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Dear Father, tonight I just want to come before you and ask for your power as we open your word. Pray that you would work in each one of our hearts as we look at the plan, Lord, the master plan, the magnificent plan that you created to save this world from our sins. And Lord, we know that the gospel isn't about us, it's about you. The gospel isn't about what we can do, it's about what you already did. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts in this time that we have here to study it. And Lord, that you would give me the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at God's word, it's fascinating to study the life of the disciples. It's fascinating to study even in comparing the different commissions. We know in Matthew the commission that Christ gave. If we were to look over in Matthew in chapter 28, we see a little bit different twist on the commission than what we see here in Luke. Just a different way of recording, a different way of saying it. Christ here gives a commission here in verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then we look at Mark in Mark 16 and verses 15. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them. And he goes on here talking about the power of the Holy Spirit following these disciples. And we look at the different commissions that are given. And then we look at the one here in Luke and then in Acts as well. There's one in John. But we look at these and it's just, it's fascinating because, you know, that's what our missions conference is about. It's about looking at the gospel going into the areas of the world that aren't there. Our ministry, the burden that God has put on my heart, the theme verse for it comes from in 2 Corinthians when Paul says, my burden is that the gospel would go to regions beyond you, to preach the gospel beyond you, where it has not been yet. I brought the gospel to you, but that the gospel would go to areas where it has not been yet, to where people that have not heard the gospel yet. And as we look at this passage here, we are talking about the greatest plan, the greatest event that ever happened in history. We're talking about the master plan, what was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And Christ here opens their understanding and he introduces them his whole purpose of coming to this earth. They had been with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had heard Jesus' teachings. But at this point, he opens their understanding so that they can see, so that they can understand, and so that they can know why he came to this earth. Up to this point, we know that the disciples were a little bit confused. They had expected Jesus to take over the kingdom, right? They had expected Jesus to come as a king, and Jesus came as a lamb to be slaughtered. They had expected that Jesus would be the one that would take power and defeat Rome and cast them out from Israel, and that Israel now would be set up and that Jesus would take a throne. And instead, Jesus took his cross. And we look here at, they didn't understand all of these things until here he's talking to them, and they knew that he'd risen again, but they did not understand everything. And here he opens their understanding in verse 45. In verse 44, he's introducing them, talking about the fact that Jesus' coming was not something that was last minute. He was a fulfillment to prophecies that had come for many years. And we could look back throughout the Old Testament. We could look at several different passages, hundreds of passages that talk about prophecies of Jesus Christ coming to this world. Of Jesus Christ, the one who was going to be the Redeemer, the one who was going to be that one raised up on the tree, that if they looked at him, they would be saved. We could look at the Lamb. We could look at so many different ones. We could look in Isaiah, and honestly, Isaiah, if you read through Isaiah 52 verses 7 all the way through 53, the end of the chapter, it is so clearly talking about Jesus. It is so, it's amazing to look at the scriptures and say this was written how many hundred years before Jesus? And yet it accurately, perfectly depicts Jesus Christ. Jesus came on purpose. God sent Jesus with a purpose. And we look at this, Jesus Christ, he came to this earth and the Bible says here in verse 46, it behooved Christ to suffer. It behooved Christ to rise from the dead. It was his, can we say it like this, his obligation? That word there, it means his moral duty, his obligation. It was the responsibility that Christ felt. It was a need in Jesus Christ to do this for the world. Jesus Christ wanted to do this. Jesus Christ felt the obligation and the responsibility to do this because there was no other way. There is no second option. There's no second option for people to trust in anything else. The Bible says in Acts 4 that there's no other name under the heaven wherein men can be saved. Jesus Christ was the only option. There's no lamb that can take away the sins of this world. Every single one of those lambs was just a picture of the perfect lamb. Jesus Christ came to this world on purpose, knowing what he was going to suffer. Jesus Christ fully understood and knew the pain. As God, that he was going to suffer, that he was going to submit himself to, having all the power to be able to call down the angels, having all the power to be able to say no. But Jesus didn't say anything. He didn't answer. He let himself suffer because it was his responsibility to do so, because he loved us so much. And there was no other option. There was no second chance. There was no plan B for reaching this world who was so lost in sin. If we look back throughout the gospel, it's important to do in a missions conference to look back at why are we here again as a church? Why are we here talking about sending people to other parts of the world to send them away from their family, as that thing said on the screen? Why are we here to do this? What is the purpose of it? Well, if we were to look at the great need of the world really is in need. There is no other option. If there was another option, Jesus Christ would not have come to this world. If there was another option, Jesus Christ would have stayed on his throne and had that second option take place. But no, there was no other option. There was no other name. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life than Jesus Christ. And it behooved Jesus Christ. It weighed on him. It was his responsibility to take that cross. We all have sin in our life. This world is full of sinners, because every single one of us are. There's no one that's good enough to get to heaven. We know this. We talk about it. We preach this all the time. You understand that. I'm not talking to anyone who has not heard this, but remember that. There is no other person in this world that has been perfect. There's no single person in this world, in whatever country you might go to, that has not sinned. Zero. That means that 8 billion people in this world have sinned. And for centuries, millennia, we're all sinners. And when Jesus came to this world, he knew that. And he understood that. And he understood the consequence that we deserved for our sin. When he hung on that cross, he recognized the fact that there is no other way. There is no other way for these people to be able to spend eternity with God, to have that relationship restored to God. There is no other way. That's why it was his responsibility. That's why it weighed on him. We know that we will all be judged. We know that we are all condemned. We know that there is no other way. Revelation, we could talk about how there's an eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. It's a reality. And if we realized how real that consequence of sin is, it would change our life. Jesus did, and it changed his life. Jesus came to the cross, changed. He left his glory. He left his life because he recognized how real hell was. Because he recognized how much God loved this world and did not want us to spend eternity separated from him. There's nothing that we can do. There's no kind of work. There's no kind of religion. There's no kind of second option. It's just Jesus Christ. Jesus was the sacrifice. He suffered for our sins. In 1 Peter, we see that Jesus Christ was the one that took our sins upon him. We know all of these things, right? We've talked about them. We understand them. Sometimes it really needs to be reheard in our hearts. But Jesus Christ not only died, he suffered, but he also, it was necessary that he would rise again. Jesus Christ could not save us from our sins if he was dead, but he's God. And he proved that by rising from the dead, by showing his power to this world. He proved that he had enough power and plenty left over. He could rise from the dead. He could take away even the death, the thing that's the greatest fear of man. Jesus Christ has power. Jesus Christ proved his power. Jesus Christ was morally obligated. He was behooved to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Because Jesus Christ did all of these things, because Jesus Christ submitted himself to this punishment, to this eternity separated for that moment, because Jesus Christ did this, we have the option of salvation. We have the option of an eternity with God. We have the option. We have the opportunity to be able to place our faith in Jesus Christ, to be able to turn from our sin and be able to turn to Jesus, to be able to see our sins taken and separated as far as the east is from the west, to be able to see our sins whiter than that snow that came down today. But it wouldn't have happened if Jesus hadn't fulfilled his responsibility. If it would not have happened if Jesus had not done his part. But you know what? Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, if he had just died, it would be in vain that we're here today. There's no purpose in it, but he did. Jesus fulfilled his part. Jesus did everything. The Son of God, the perfect man, the Lamb, was sacrificed. And that Lamb rose again. And you know what? Jesus did his part. We all have access to God through Jesus Christ now. Every single one of us. There's not a single person in this room that does not have the opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ because of that. There's not a single person in any part of this world that because of what Jesus did doesn't have access to be able to place his faith in Jesus and have that repentance, have that remission of sin. We understand that. So we see that Jesus fulfilled his part. So the master plan of evangelism required Jesus. Without Jesus, it was not complete. Without Jesus, it was impossible. Jesus did his part. Jesus fulfilled his responsibility. Jesus did what was his duty as the Son of God, to leave God because of his love for man and come and fulfill the prophecy that had been prophesied for centuries. Jesus did his part. Well, what else was necessary? The necessity was that repentance and remission of sins, that what Jesus did could be able to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So first off, we see that we need Jesus to be able to see souls saved. The master plan of evangelism requires Jesus. And second, it requires someone to talk about Jesus. Someone to tell about Jesus. Someone who will go to all parts of the world, because it says through among all nations. Starting here, starting in your hometown, starting in Jerusalem where this all began. Jesus did his part. Now whose turn is it? Jesus did his part. Now what we need is witnesses. We need people that can talk about what they have seen God do in my life to others. A witness is someone who has experienced something, right? Someone who's seen, who's heard, who's observed something. I was just recently in Pennsylvania, and we were in a backyard of someone's house. We had just pulled into Pennsylvania. We'd driven from Ohio that day. Pulled into we were at these folks' house eating in the backyard. And suddenly we hear someone, they take a propane tank and they bashed in their car window. Okay, that's a unique way to get your keys, you know. But, you know, it's their car, so whatever, right? We're sitting there and suddenly we hear it again. And again. And again. And by the time he was done, he had gone through and bashed in every single car along the street. And he lived in that area. I wasn't from there. I didn't know. We're sitting there listening to this. And so myself, and I was actually with Trevor Grimes. Some of you might know him from college. We started running to see what's going on, because we started hearing this and someone's starting to yell and, okay, this isn't good. And we observed it. We watched what was going on, and the police drove up. They arrested him. And what did they do? They went around and started to ask people for their statement, right? Basically, what they were doing was getting witnesses. People that had seen what had happened. People that had heard what had happened. And you know what? A witness is someone that observes something, that sees something, that has experienced something. Jesus here says that it's necessary. It's an obligation. It's a moral obligation for us to preach the gospel among all nations. And he says here, ye are witnesses of these things. Did you know that if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a witness? You've experienced something. You have observed something. You know what? If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have what it takes to share with someone else. You have what it takes to share with someone else. Jesus did this in my life. Before Jesus, I was like this. I did this. I was afraid. I had fear. I was in this sin. I was lost. But Jesus came and changed me. And now I have peace in my heart. You know what? Something that simple can change someone's life. We are witnesses. Jesus didn't say you're going to be witnesses. Jesus said you are witnesses. In this passage here, he says, you have observed what I've done. You've seen my power. You've seen me risen from the dead. You've seen that power now. It's your turn to talk about it. How is this world going to be reached? We couldn't have done it without Jesus. How is this world going to be saved from their sins? We couldn't have done it if Jesus hadn't done his part. But now the ball comes to our court. The gospel will not go forward unless there's a witness who preaches it. The gospel will not go to another nation unless someone who has observed it, that has seen Jesus' power in his life, shares it with them. That story of the wonderful story of Jesus that we just sang about goes to them so that they can hear about Jesus. Because you know what? There is no other name under heaven. We say that. There's no plan B. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to be saved but Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's no other way for them to be saved unless we tell them about Jesus Christ. It's our moral obligation. It's our moral duty to be able to take the gospel, God's master plan, better than any book anyone else has written. It says Jesus Christ was necessary. He had to suffer to take our sins. He had to pay for our sins. He had to rise again and prove his power to this world. And you know what? He is God. He has the power. He's ready to save. And you know what? That needs to be taken to other people. That has to be told to all nations. Every single nation. It is our responsibility because we are witnesses. You are a witness. You are a witness. You have experienced God in your life. Amen? Well, then you're a witness. You're a witness. Who have you told today? Who have you told this week? We have the power to be able to see people saved. We have the power to be able to see people's lives transformed. We complain about this world, right? We complain about the problems that are in this world. Well, who's the witnesses? Pastor, right? He's the witness. Or maybe brother, Pastor Phil. You know what? If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you have experienced something, and you are a witness. But it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop with Jesus. It doesn't stop with the witnesses. We have Jesus. He's done his part. We have witnesses. Well, what else is necessary to be able to see the gospel go forward? In verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Before the gospel could go, Jesus says, I want you to wait. Well, I want you to wait. Wait. Well, we have the greatest message ever. Wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And you know what? The disciples went there and they gathered and they began to pray and they began to seek God's face and the power of the Holy Spirit came. And we know that the promise of the Father has already come. For this world to be able to reach, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts, that illumines, that guides people into all truth, that shows them, that reproves them of their sin, that shows people their need for Jesus Christ and testifies of him. Did you know that the Holy Spirit gives witness too? The Holy Spirit gives witness of Jesus Christ. But he does it through us. The Holy Spirit wants to give witness to this world, but he's going to use a person. You and me. So we look at this, and we see that there are three necessities for the gospel. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John, in 14, it talks about when Jesus said that when he was taken away, his Father would send the Spirit, and they would do greater works than he had ever done. Jesus Christ did his part. We are witnesses already. The witnesses are there that have experienced God. The Holy Spirit has come. So why isn't the world reached? Well, you need three things, right? You need here in this passage, according to this passage, Jesus says so that the gospel is going to go to these places, you need me to do my part, you need me to suffer and to die and to rise again. You need someone who's going to tell them. You need a witness. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm promising you I'm going to send them. And you know what? Every single one of those we already have. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. There is no excuse for the gospel not to go. We are the witnesses. Christ has done his part. We have the Holy Spirit. So what is the problem? What is missing in this master plan of evangelism? I submit to you that it's not God's fault. It's a perfect plan. It's a wonderful plan. You know what? The problem is that the witnesses aren't talking. The witnesses aren't talking. We aren't obeying the command of Jesus Christ. As a church, as individuals, we are not obeying what God has told us to do. Christ said it was my moral duty, it was my obligation. It was necessary for me to die on the cross, and I did it. It was necessary for me to rise again, and I did it. It was necessary to have witnesses, and you have them. You are witnesses. It is necessary for you to have the Holy Spirit, and I've sent him already. And then we see the life of the disciples. Once they had those three things, the whole world was transformed. Because the power of the Holy Spirit came in their lives. They spoke the gospel with power to the world. People's lives were transformed. The Holy Spirit was witness to what they were speaking, proving that yes, it's true. You know what the difference is now? Us. Jesus is the same. He's already done his part. We are witnesses, and the Holy Spirit is in us. So what's the difference? We aren't speaking. We aren't obeying. We aren't going. We aren't sending. The master plan of evangelism is ready. It's right there. You know what? When we look at Romans 10, look there with me, please. Romans 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know what? Jesus Christ is ready and willing and desires to save this world. That's why he came. His whole purpose in coming to this world was to save us from our sins. He's made us witnesses as a church, as individuals. We've experienced God. We have a message to tell to the nations. We have a story to tell to every single part of this world because it's powerful just as much here as it is in China, in Peru, wherever it might be. The message is just as powerful. The Holy Spirit is in us. We need to preach. We need to share the gospel. Sometimes that word is used as preach. Sometimes the word is used as witnesses. If we were to look in Acts, that same passage there, the same author is speaking here in Acts 1. And he talks about this same commission and he says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So you are witnesses, and ye shall be witnesses. In Luke 24, it says ye are witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, it says ye shall be witnesses. What's the difference? Well, you are witnesses, and you should be a witness. We are to preach God's words because we've experienced it. You can take a witness and you can put him on the stand, but you cannot force him to speak. And you know what? So many of us are on a stand and we have a message that could save this world. But we don't speak it. We don't share. We don't tell. We don't share what God has done in our life, what we have experienced. We have all the power that's necessary to be able to see this world transformed and reached. We need to believe that because the Bible said all power is given me and I'm giving you the power. The Holy Spirit's going to come. You have the power. Sometimes we put so many excuses for why this world isn't reached. We can say so many excuses and we can point the finger at so many different places and so many different people and so many cultural factors and so many things. We can say, well, it's easier in this country than in here, etc. You know what? I believe that if we got on our face and we begged God to work in those places and we began to speak with boldness just like the disciples did, up until that point, the disciples, they were having a rough crowd, right? These people, they were blinded. We heard about that last night. They were blinded. But when the Holy Spirit came, it illumined their eyes. It opened their hearts. And the problem is, the witnesses are not accessing God's power and speaking to this world. And sharing God's word to this world. So what's the problem? Why don't we see this world reached? Why is it necessary to have another conference? Because we're having a conference because we haven't completed the commandment that Jesus has given to us. That's the only reason we're here. Why are we having a conference? Because we need to start obeying. We need to start accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, believing Him, and obeying. We need to start preaching. We need to start sending. We need to start getting behind and for the greatest mission that ever happened. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, wants to save this world. That's why he came. That's why he died. And he said, it's your responsibility to tell him. It's your responsibility to tell him. I'm giving you all my authority, all my power. It's ready. Will you tell the world? God wants to save them. And it's our job to tell, to take that message of Jesus to the world that hasn't heard. We need Jesus for the gospel to be able to go forward. Because without Jesus, there is no gospel. We need witnesses, and we are the witnesses. We need the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We already have him. So I challenge you tonight. You, in your life, you have all three of those things. Will you share? Will you obey God? Will you share the message that can transform this world with whoever it might be that needs to hear? You know, a witness of Jesus should talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. Because God's power can save anyone, anywhere, anytime. But so many times I look at my life, and the problem is, I didn't open my mouth. And a witness is useless until he opens his mouth. So the question tonight is really answered in this. What is the greatest need for the master plan of evangelism to go forward in this world? And it comes down to me and you. We are not obeying God's command. We are not obeying God's command. And if you are, I challenge you, pray for laborers and challenge others. And keep going and don't give up because you know what? Jesus Christ's power dwells and rests in you. Don't be afraid to share God's word. But the reality is, I know that in this church and in my church and in my own life, the problem usually comes down to, I'm not doing it when I know I need to do. I'm not obeying when I need to obey. When Christ says go, I don't go. When Christ says do, I don't do. When Christ says speak, I don't speak. That's why the world's not reached. That's why the world's not reached. So, in your life, will you be that witness that Christ wants you to be? Will you speak to the world through the power of the Holy Spirit and share with them the message of Jesus Christ? Pastor's going to come and close.